Yeah. I was like, ooh, interior design. Interior design, Taylor. She's on a Chin HGTV.
Everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love when Sarah Dessen posts about us on her Instagram. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Y'all were kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. Dreams coming true. No big deal. It's whatever.
My dog is so excited for us that she wants to leave the room that she's currently in with me. So hold on.
She's like, I need room to do zoomies.
Go do zoomies. Go live your life. I love you. Okay. Yes. Great day. Michaelan texted me and was like, our life is pretty cool right now. And I was like, truly, it never gets old to me that we like know Sarah Dessen and that she acknowledges our presence. And like, it's just the coolest thing. Like, it just never,
it really
never gets old.
It really is so cool. I was like, ah. Also, I was glad that the package got there. And yeah. Yay.
She has the bracelet. We literally friendship bracelet traded with like one of our heroes, our queen. Mm-hmm. So it's a good day. It's a good day.
It's a good day.
This is our last episode before our little spring break, as we're calling it. I love that for us. So it's a good time for anyone that's a little bit behind. Catch up. You won't hear this because you're behind. But for anyone that's behind, it's a good time to catch up. We'll miss chatting with y'all, but I'm sure we'll have plenty of good stories once we get back from our trip to share with you. And yeah, we're excited today. I'm gonna say that we're gonna try to keep this one a little shorter than the last TTPD episode, but let's be honest, it's probably gonna be another long one. So please get comfortable, put on your favorite Taylor Swift cardigan of choice. And even though it's like summer now and it's hot, it's all get out, at least in the southeast. It's already getting miserable, y'all. We'll be excited to not be in the heat when we go on our trip. But put on your favorite Taylor Swift cardigan, even though it's hot, it's for the aesthetic. And let us discuss the anthology. We will be diving in. I am excited. It is time. One quick Taylor Swift related thing. Okay, so y'all, so this is on brand what we're discussing today. I'm amazed by how amazing it is to people to know really simple, basic things. Like, people think I'm crazy for knowing things like her full name and her birthday. And I'm like, her birthday was like a big thing. Like, the number 13 is very like iconic in Taylor Swift lore. So like, that's very easy to suss out when her birthday is. In 1989, she named her whole freaking album after. And I was like, this is like basic knowledge. Like, I think every human being with a pulse should know this. And yet people are baffled when I can tell them her full name, her birthday, and the names of her family members. And I was like, this isn't even the weird shit that I know. Like, this is baseball. You don't know the entire timeline that Mike Land sent me about her and Matty Healy's situationship that I read every single bit about. And then I was like, was he obsessed with her / is he still obsessed with her? Because it kind of seems like he is. That they don't even know about that, and they think I'm like a crazy super fan. And I'm like, y'all, like, this is baseline stuff. Like, if I told you the really weird in the weed stuff that I know, y'all would really think I'm crazy. So just had to share that because I've had two conversations recently. Again, like, everyone knows for my trip. Everyone's very excited for me, even though they don't like entirely get it. Everyone, of course, has been asking my thoughts at work on the new album, which I love. I love that everyone just like automatically thinks of me. Like, what an honor, truly. But yeah, a few weeks back, I was talking to someone and they had like an absolute insane reaction that I knew that. And I was like, this is base level stuff. And then today, the same thing happened. And she's like, you might need to get checked out. And I was like, this is base level information.
You might need to get checked out?
Yeah. I was like, for being a fan of someone and knowing when their birthday is, like, that's, I was like, you're going to be amazed when I tell you that I know other celebrities' birthdays. Because, like, it's not that uncommon of a thing to know. Like, I was like,
right.
I know Ed Sheeran's birthday. I know his family story. Like, is that weird to know? I didn't think that was weird to know. I can tell you when the Beatles the very first time that they premiered on American television was February 9th, 1963. It was the Ed Sullivan Show. And I can tell you which two songs they sang. Like, I feel like that's not a crazy thing to know. And yet apparently to the people I work with who are just so pop culturally, like, I don't know, not that invested in pop culture, I guess, they're like, wow, you're insane. And I'm like,
if you led with, like, I know Ed Sheeran's birthday, she probably wouldn't have reacted like that. But because it was Taylor Swift, I think there's, like, that added level of, like, absurdity or whatever. But you guys don't even know.
Yeah, I was like, you don't even know, man. You don't even know. Again, they're all very happy for me. They're very happy for me to be taking this trip. They all endure me talking about this stuff all the time. I shouldn't say endure. It's a privilege that they get to hear this.
It is.
But I love when people are excited about something, even when it's something I don't understand. Like, I love when people tell me about their fandoms and their weird stuff that they're into. I'm like, please tell me more. Like, I love watching someone be passionate about something. So it really pleases me. I think most people feel the same, like, when I, you know, or talking about my passions. I'm sure some people are probably like, could you tone it down? But you know what? It's fine. I'm not for everyone. I understand that. And it's cool.
Exactly. So everyone, it's time. We're going to talk about the anthology. We're only talking about the anthology. We've already talked about TTPD.
Yes.
Look it up.
You know our thoughts. I will say, you know, we discussed, like, we did our rankings and we're like, this is where it stands now. Like, obviously it's subject to change. And I will say, even in the only like 2 weeks since we have done that, listening to the album some more, I definitely have shuffled some things around. That's the only thing I'm going to say. I'm not going to like go into full detail, yes, full detail of my new ranking, because we're talking anthology today. But I will say it is crazy. Like, yeah, there are certain songs that are just like sleepers. You know what I mean? And suddenly you're like, light bulb moment. Is this song is everything. This song is great. So yes. And I'm sure I feel that, like, even though we had more time with the anthology and to prepare and discuss, even today when I was like making my list of my faves, I was like, oh, God, but this one is also really, oh, I don't know. It was hard. Like, it was really difficult.
And it also, is hard.
Like, the debate about, are you a like a side one or a side two? Like, do you like the first album or like the double part of the album debate? I'm like, I can't choose. Like, that's like picking a favorite child. Like, I don't know if I can like truly say which one I like more. I don't know. It's hard.
I don't know. It is hard.
I feel like side two, like the anthology portion, has more songs that are my vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
But there are certain songs on side one that just hit so damn hard that I'm like, that song is so good.
I know. That's the thing.
It's tricky. Well, let's start.
Let's dive in. The first song we have on this year anthology is The Black Dog. So good. Unbelievably good. This is one of my top songs overall, but definitely on the anthology.
This, I'm a little sad. I knew obviously we would be going in order. And I'm a little sad because my number one is being discussed first. This is my favorite song on the anthology. Yes. Like, this song is fantastic. Like, from the first time I listened to it, I was like, oh, this is going to be one I return to a lot, I think. And the more I listen to it, this is the you get in your car and you belt it out and you get out your feelings type song. Like, I am screaming with her. Like, it is so good. It is so relatable. Again, I'm not even someone who's ever shared my location, but that's not true. I've shared locations, but like, I'm not someone who like is a super share my location type person. And yet still I was like, oh, this song just hits and is like so relatable, even though I don't personally, I've never had an ex that I've still seen their location. This has never actually personally happened to me, but just the overall vibes. Like, I think the part when she talks about, you know, obviously that, you know, when someone plays the starting line, you jump up, and she's doing to the song, and she's like, that was intertwined in the magic fabric of our dreaming. And then it goes on, she kind of comes back to that. And that to me is like the most relatable part. Like, there is, you have these relationships with people, and you're haunted by, to catch an old Taylor Swift song, you're haunted by these memories of them. And it's so frustrating that like, there's this entire pub and it means nothing to them. Like, they don't understand that that was your thing, that that was your song. And like everyone else, like the world just keeps, you know, spinning madly on. But you hear that song and you would instantly know it, or you would instantly be triggered by it. And he's with this girl and she's like, she doesn't fucking know that song. She doesn't know what that song meant to us. And it's like, yes, that is so relatable. Like that. Oh, it's just so good. It's so good.
I have to tell you something. My cord glitched out. And so I did not hear most of that. I didn't hear up until you started reading the lyrics with the starting line. But
it was, when you hear it on the edit, you're going to be like, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you. I already know. I love that she shouted out the starting line, and I love that they like jumped on it. They made a t-shirt that says like, not too old to know the starting line and stuff. The old habits die screaming, the way that screaming is produced.
Yes.
Oh my God. It's like she is screaming.
Yeah. It's so good. And then at the end, the last one, when it's like really breathy and fades out, and we're like, oh, it's fucking God. Like, I just got chilled thinking about this. Is a song I would love for her to play live, because everyone's 70,000 people singing along. Like, any of these songs, I would love for her to play live. But this is one that I was like, I don't think it's going to make the set list. This could be a surprise song somewhere. Our luck, it will not be the night that we attend. But I was like, if I could get the Black Dog live, like, man, I'd lose it. I'd absolutely lose it.
Yeah, I would love to get the Black Dog live.
It's so good. I guess we can move on to I'm Gonna Get You Back. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Wait.
Waiting.
When she says, you said I needed a brave man, then proceeded to play him until I believed it too.
Oh my God.
Oh, oh my God. It just hits. It's like
every line in this song, every line on this album. And again, that people are like, she's not a lyrical genius. I just can't understand that. Can't relate. Good for you, no. I guess, but can't relate to that.
Not real. Okay, so then we move on to I'm Gonna Get You Back.
I'm gonna get you back. This is one of the later songs on this side of the album. I feel like this is a little bit more of like the heavier, kind of slower songs. But this one's a little bit, I like this one. I like the like double meaning of it. Like, I don't, you know, I'm gonna get you back either in a good way or a bad way. I'm not sure, but I'm gonna. And I think that's very good, like, in the stages of grief of a relationship, that's very relatable. Like, when you're still kind of in that, like, I loved him so much. And then you're like, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. That guy ain't shit. And you can't decide which one you're at. That is the song. This song, for me, is, like, it's on the, like, lower half of my list. Not lower, even. Okay, yeah, no, it is. It's 14 out of 15. But against a preface, like, I know, like, some people were hating on us for putting Tortured Poets Department last on our list or whatever, and it's like, it has to be 15. And also, I'd rather listen to any of those songs than most other songs. So, like, there's no winner or loser. It's just some songs I love a little more. I still enjoy this one. I don't skip it. Like, this isn't going to be a skip for me. I'm going to listen to it. But, like, Tortured Poets Department, like Fortnite, I'm like, it's good. It's fine. It's not my favorite. That's just my personal take.
I'm going to say this probably isn't one of my favorites either, because it doesn't come to mind right away.
Yeah.
When I'm thinking of the album. But I do really love it. I love, as you said, I love the attitude that she has when she comes into this. Like, she, like, this first stanza, what is it fucking called?
Verse.
Yes, thank you. The first verse.
Hey, it's poetry, so we can call it a stanza too if we want to.
Exactly. But she comes in, she's like, lilac, short skirt, the one that fits me like skin. She's like going up to this guy or person.
Yeah.
At the bar. And she's like, okay, this is either going to be sexy or it's going to be mean. And she just has so much confidence. She's like, honey, I can tell when somebody still wants me. I'm like, yes, girl.
Yes, girl. Queen. Yes. This is very giving. I think so much of this album gives, it's more on like the folklore, Evermore vein, even like some Reputation vein. This song, when I first listened to it, I was like, oh, this is 1989 Taylor, which again is a compliment because I am obsessed with that album, obviously. But this is just like the way it's just kind of like you can bop to it, but then you really listen to the lyrics and you're like, damn, this is actually a really deep song, but you're so distracted by bopping to it that you like don't realize at first. And that to me is like very reminiscent of 1989, where everyone just thinks of it as being like all these great pop anthems, and it is, but it's also like a lyrical masterpiece. And 1989 doesn't get enough credit for that because everyone's just like, I was too busy bopping.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's due.
Yes, that's a good point. This does fit in with like the 1989.
Yeah, like as we, and especially again, everyone's been talking about like how these like throwbacks to lyrics, but you know that like obviously in Style when she talks about like, you know, in my tight little skirt and whatever. And so when this song started off and she's like, I'm describing what I'm wearing and what I'm gonna go do to you, I was like, ooh, 1989 Taylor, go off, queen.
Yes, yes. And then in this, the later part, like not once in this is she like, I'm not a prize, like you were never not mine. Like, she's like, okay. She's like, I'm an Aston Martin that you steered straight into the ditch. And I'll tell you one thing, honey, I could take the upper hand and touch your body. Flip the script and leave you like a dumb house party. She's like,
yeah. Like, she's ooh, like, I just have the, like,
yes, I just love the attitude. I love the confidence that she has in this song. And I love how unhinged it is.
Yeah. I like Taylor when she's a little unhinged. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Absolutely.
Next, we have The Albatross. This is one of those that I was like, ooh, the name. The name alone intrigues me.
Okay. So I remember looking up what the Albatross was. And now I'm going to do it again. Define. Because I remember being like, oh, shit, this is going to be about Joe. But then it's like, it's not at all. Okay. Yeah. Here it is. So it's a bird, and then it's also something that can causes persistent deep concern or anxiety, something that greatly hinders accomplishment. And then this literally says fame has become an albatross that prevents her from leading a normal life.
Yeah.
That's like basically what this song is.
Yeah. Which, not the most relatable thing to me personally, because I'm not famous, but still a great song and still like a good look into her you know, kind of feelings and whatever. And like we kind of said last time we were talking about Torture Post Department, was just how open and honest and raw she was in this album and how much we respect that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is definitely one of those songs that, you know, fits that. I put it, it's like mid-tier for me on this portion of the album. I put it at 10. Like, I like it a lot. I think it, again, lyrically, it's very pretty, but I just don't feel like it's a song that I'm going to gravitate towards a lot. Like, it's there. Again, I'm not going to skip over it, but I'm not, like, seeking it out. Like, when I'm on my way to work and I only have, like, a 10-minute drive and I'm like, what two or three songs from Tortured Poets Department or, like, from the anthology can I listen to? It's not going to be The Albatross, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not going to give me the vibe to go to work.
I also think there's like another story being told here too of like her fame impacting her love life, because she's like, she's the albatross, she's here to destroy you. Like, that could be her. She's like, you know what this is going to be for you. And when the sky rains fire on you and your persona non grata, like that's like, oh, when the internet turns on you.
Right.
I just want you to know, like, that doesn't matter. Like, people believe fake news. It doesn't, like, now that you understand what I went through, I can sweep in and I'm not the devil. It's not me that's doing this, but we can be in this together.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I would say, maybe a little bit of a sequel to Peace. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I would say it's in that same vein, wheelhouse of songs. And I enjoy both of them. I do love mm-hmm. Peace a lot. It's a great song.
Peace is like bargaining, and the albatross is like acceptance.
Acceptance. Yes, 100%. That's the perfect way to put it. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Any other thoughts?
I feel like those are, that sums up my thoughts on the albatross pretty perfectly.
Okay.
Here we go. I know. I was like, I have a feeling my clan's going to be hyped to talk about this one. And I'm here for it.
So we are on Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that people already know this because it's all over the TikToks. But the beginning little piano diddle. Diddle, not a good word.
Little ditty about Jack and I.
Diddy, that's what I was looking for.
Little ditty or diddle. I'm not calling them diddles.
What's that? But oh, I got so distracted by calling. Oh, is so the beginning jingle of Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus is the end piano jingle of Champagne Problems. And I have been thinking about this a lot, a lot. And I,
please tell us your thought.
Have some thoughts. Okay. So Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus is like a lot of this album, a lot of the story in this album is like, there's somebody that's been on the back burner that she's been thinking what if about forever. And then she gets with him and then he fucking sucks. But at this point, she's like still thinking, what if, like, what if we got together? She's talking about how she, whoever this person is, her muse is like hooking up with all these different people and they're bisexual. Shout out. And it could be anyone, like, and she knows it's happening, but she like, you know, there's no name, but she's like, you know, I'm watching this happen. I know. For 10 years. And then you saw me out with somebody who looked like he would have bullied you in school and you just watched it happen. So I'm thinking like, okay, Champagne Problems is about a woman who turns down an engagement. So she turns him down and she is like really heartbroken about it and his family's talking shit and like it's a whole thing. So that could be a what if situation. Like now she's looking at the guy that she turned down, you know, 10 years ago. And she's like, huh, what if like I didn't turn him down? What if I didn't turn him down?
Right, right.
Alternatively, this could also be she said no to the Champagne Problems guy because she was still thinking about her Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus guy. Mm-hmm. And now that the like engagement is over and she's kind of in this like breakup pot of like, what am I doing now? What just happened? She's like, there's that guy from 10 years ago. What's he got going on? Like, and we've just not been talking to each other for 10 years. Like, we could be the big thing. We could be the end game. We could be why I turned down his proposal.
Yeah.
And I
like it could really go either way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it's very interesting. I really love Champagne Problems. I also really love this song. So no one is surprised. I'm like, that song is exactly my type of vibe of song. But this was a little bit of a sleeper for me though. Cause the first time I listened to it, I don't feel like I was like fully paying attention to the lyrics and I was like kind of confused. And then I threw it a couple more times and I was like, okay, I'm into this song. And then obviously you pointed out to me the Champagne Problems kind of piano thing. And then I was like, this thickens the plot, especially because like Champagne Problems, I always like, again, we kind of discussed this on TTBD. Like, we're not trying to make this all about like, who are these songs about? But then it doesn't matter, and interpret it however you want to and make the songs about however you want to. For instance, I Can Fix So No Really I Can is now forever to me a Padme Anakin song. And tell me a couple if that's better. You fucking can't. But so like,
oh my God.
You make it whoever you want it to be about, okay? Which also I texted that to my friend Kristen, who is also a really big like Star Wars nerd. And she was like, listen, the second I saw the album titles, I thought the two of them, especially because this album also has a song, which we're going to get to, called The Prophecy, which of course it's like The Prophecy, The Chosen One. And again, I was like, you're so fucking right. And we just went on like this whole spiral about like what songs we could relate to Star Wars. So see, that's what I do with my spare time, everyone. So who am I to tell you you're wrong in any interpretation that you have? But when the Champagne Problems thing, I was like, I always associate, like obviously her and Joe wrote that together. I always thought, what a weird song for a happy couple to write together, first of all.
Yeah, like most songs on those albums.
Most songs on those albums. I was like, this is the one you wrote with your boyfriend? That's weird. But again, who am I to judge? But then, yeah, and then this song comes up, and I was like, this just, like, really thickens the plot then to me. Yeah, so I'm like, it just thickens the plot. And again, I don't know anything. I don't know any of their personal lives, the intricacies of it. But yeah, I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. Also, I think one of the saddest lyrics is in this song, in the chorus, and she says, you know, if you want to break my cold, cold heart, just say I loved you the way that you were. That's so depressing, because it's like, it could mean, again, a couple of different things, but no matter what the interpretation is, that is so sad. Like, that you wouldn't want your partner to grow and be a different person. Because, again, like, if you're saying, like, this is something that's, like, if she's saying that in instance to someone like a Joe, is it, like, oh, you loved me when I was, like, deep and depressed and in my reputation era, and I wouldn't leave the house, and you want me to stay that way? That's depressing. But if it's someone, like, someone who she was in a situationship with for 10 years, and she's like, I changed and I changed. I was freaking Sandy from Greece to be who you wanted me to be. And now you're telling me that you loved me the way I was 10 years ago. And, like, the person I am now, like, no matter what, like, it's just sad. And again, like, taking Taylor Swift out of it, like, just, like, on, again, like, listening to a lyric like that, I just think is, like, such a human thing that, like, everyone can relate to. Like, yeah, like, being in a relationship with someone and being like, they don't even love this version of me anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, they love this idea of me, this person they knew back then, and, like, that's just sad. I don't know. So anyways, the champagne problems of it all, the you know, the Chloe, Sophia, whatever, I can think of the name, Sam, it's too many names, I get them jumbled. And also the fact that there's a song that starts with Chloe, then there's a song called Cassandra. I was like, Chloe, Cassandra, whichever one this is, even though they're vastly different songs, to be clear. But yeah, so anyways, I don't know, this song just, like, has everything that I need in a good, like, sad, angsty Taylor Swift song. 10 out of 10, no notes from me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I agree. I think this actually, I really like the Black Dog, but I think this Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus might be my favorite song, because I just love the story. I love the connection to champagne problems. Yes. I'm kind of just, like, obsessed with this song, truthfully.
Yeah. This is a top five for me. I put it in at number four. God, it's just, like, literally any of my top, like, five could have been my number one. Like, they're just awesome.
That's the thing.
They are so good.
Like, to be clear, our bottom song is not bad.
Yeah.
At all. We're still going to listen to it.
I'm still going to listen to it. I still have been listening to it ad nauseum. I just happen to like some of these other songs more. Yeah. I don't know. Any other thoughts?
No, I don't think so. It's just so good. It's just so good. The next song, y'all.
The next song.
How did it end?
This might be the most, no, this is the most depressing song on this album. And I'm going to go ahead and make a bold statement. Maybe the saddest Taylor Swift song she has ever written. And it's, like, sneaky sad. Like, you listen to it the first time, you don't even realize how depressing this is. And then you listen to it again, and you're like, and you, like, really dissect the lyrics, and you're like, this is the saddest shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, this is that sad, but so good. But sad, sad. Oh my God, it's so good.
I love it. It's, like, it's one of the most, it's, like, hard to even say this because what the fuck, but, like, it's one of the most poetic songs on the album, which is, like, they're all poetic, but, like, this one is so much, like, he was a hothouse flower to my outdoorsman.
God, that's good.
The empathetic hunger descends. Come one, come all, it's happening again. We learn the right steps to different dances.
Oh, that's good.
Like, oh my God.
Ugh. I fell victim to interlopers' glances.
One gasp, and then how did it end? And, like, oh my God. And then when she's like, say it once again with feeling, this entire part, gorgeous. Yeah, absolutely gorgeous.
Sitting in a tree, D-Y-I-N-G. Fuck. God, mm-hmm. That's good.
I like, too, that this is, like, kind of a... This is, like, another kind of, like, fuck you to the public where she's, like... Because, you know, when her and Joe broke up, everybody, how did it end? What happened? Like, what went down? I mean, including me.
Right, I'm guilty.
Absent from things. That.
Again, do I go to her about it? Or, again, like, none of us have the opportunity to go to her. But I'm sure, like, when she's at these schmoozy affairs right after she announces a breakup, I bet people are actually going to her face about it. And again, all these articles are being written about it and comments on all of her posts and this kind of thing. I would never, ever comment on a Taylor Swift post and ask her anything about her personal life, ever. Like, am I going to
hypothesize about it
with friends? Yeah. But I would never, that's so weird. Like, there are boundaries, y'all. Would you do, like, we are strangers. She is a complete stranger to me. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day. Would you do that to a complete stranger? No. Oh, heard you broke up with somebody. How did it end? What happened with your relationship? Oh, what is this? The 18,000th person you've broken up with? Well, no. You would never. And because, like, people, like, think that they know them because they're a celebrity that they, you know, idolize. They think they can do that. And it's just, like, and again, just, like, the end of it when she's, like, you know, but I still don't know how did it end. And it's, like, and that's, again, like, that's the whole point of the song is, like, she has to, and, like, the whole point of the album, like, she has to write these albums because she has to get it out. But then she also knows that, like, again, when something like a news or a breakup comes out, like, all of these people are going to be like, oh, we're going to. And then the part where she, oh my God, what is the one part where it's like, you'll go home to your, you know, husbands or whatever. Oh, soon they'll go home to their husband, smug because they know they can trust him. And yeah, it's like, oh, there goes Taylor Swift again. Another boyfriend. Like, maybe she's the problem, which again is why she got ahead of that and made the song Anti-Hero. But yeah, but like, it's so true. Yes. Like, all these people are like, well, you know, I'm in a good relationship. My man, whenever I'm da da da. And it's like, yeah, but also you're the most famous person on planet Earth. Like, it's not easy to be in a relationship if you're the most famous person on planet Earth. Like, she's not normal, you know, like she's, I watched this video about how it's really interesting how Taylor Swift does maintain this sense of relatability. And she does, like, again, like, we listen to these songs and we're like, oh my God, that's so relatable. Oh my God, that's so relatable. Like, she posts something on TikTok and you're like, oh my God, that's so relatable. That's actually how it started. I was talking about that video that she posted at the Super Bowl party, like, with her parents, and it was like, you know, when that song came on and she was like, when you're at the club with your parents, you're like, oh my God, that's so relatable. Like, we've all done an awkward thing with your parents. Mine was going to see Wedding Crashers with them in the theater, and I was way too young to be, even as a grown ass woman, I would not want to sit next to my parents watching that movie. We did not know it was going to be that raunchy. Yeah. And it was like, oh my God. So the second I saw TikTok, I was like, yeah, we've all been there, girl. And so they're saying, like, it is crazy because someone, again, this was my girl KJ Miller on TikTok, that this is the video I'm referencing. She was talking about, she's like, you know, and again, people are like, oh, how manipulative of her to do this. She's just trying to be relatable. And she's like, no, I think she legitimately just, like, thought it was funny and it just happened to be relatable. Like, not everything she's doing is, like, to manipulate people. But then she was like, it is interesting that someone like Taylor Swift, who is a billionaire, can be relatable when someone, like, we don't think of Bill Gates as being relatable. We don't think of Beyonce as being relatable. Like, Beyonce, like, I can't relate to Beyonce, you know what I mean? Like, Ariana Grande does not come off relatable. So why is it that Taylor Swift, who is just as successful as them, has just as much money as these other billionaires, comes off as relatable? Like, what is it about her, you know? And I think that while that's such a great asset that she has with her fans, I also think it's to her detriment sometimes, because I think, like, oh yeah, she's our friend, she's our sister, she's our, you know, whatever. She's mother, you know, as people like to say. Again, I say, I'm like, mother, you know, whatever. Like, we all say it, again, to be funny. But then because of that, like, you think that you get to know these things. And it's like, no, she is just like all those other billionaires. like, no.
Right.
I don't get to know, like, these things.
We don't know Taylor Swift, the person.
And we'll never know. I
mean, we don't know her.
Taylor Swift, the person. But I'm never going to know Taylor Swift, the person.
Right. We know what Taylor wants to show us.
But yes, I just think that just this song, like you said, it's just so poetic. It's just heartbreakingly beautiful. And it's like one of those songs where I was like, I don't think I've ever been sadder for someone in her position, because you're just like, yeah, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, you have to write these songs because that is your way of coping, and you have to get this out, and you're trying to figure out how did it end. And so you write a whole album about it, and, you know, this and the other thing, but you know everyone is going to be talking about it, and you know that when you break up with your in your 6-year relationship that it's going to be headline news. Like, I can't imagine, right? Like, breaking up with someone is already so devastating. And, like, you know, one of the things that one of the lines that's always really struck me in Champagne Problems is, you know, how evergreen our group of friends. Don't think I'll get to say that word again, because that is so devastating. Anyone who's ever been a breakup knows what that's like. Like, you, when you are in a relationship and you have mutual friends, it's a divorce. Like, they pick sides. Like, y'all can't be friends anymore. You can't all go hang out with each other. And so it's not just the loss of your partner, it's the loss of this whole community that you've built around them, right? And so I was like, that in and of itself is difficult. I can't imagine, like, having, you know, when you have to tell your group of friends, or when you have to lose your group of friends or whatever, what it must be like to have to, like, tell the whole world that you broke up with someone. So I don't know, y'all. I mean, famous people have great lives. Don't get me wrong. Like, this isn't like, wow, right. Be nicer to the famous people. But also, like, yeah, they're also human beings. So, like, be nicer. Like, a little compassion to famous people would be nice. Like, we're all just out here doing our best.
Seriously. Okay.
Next. Yeah, they have a lot of thoughts and feelings about that song. I do. It's just really good. It's just so sad.
I mean, it's, I get it. Like, it is a powerful song. It's so a powerful good. Song.
So good. Next one is a lot lighter. Yay. So high school. We kind of discussed this a little bit when we discussed. Oh, no. Hold on, everyone. My plan's having a moment.
Yes. So high school is light. It's fluffy.
It's great. It, like, deserves to be in, like, a rom-com or something. I love it. Yes. I think it's fantastic. You need, like, a little bit of light and fluffy. And again, especially after How Did It End, when I'm, like, devastated for Taylor, then I'm like, okay, no, but, like, she's doing okay, guys. She's doing okay. I needed that reassurance, personally.
I saw a post. I don't know if it was trolling or not. Maybe it was. I don't know. Sometimes I can't tell. But they were, like, breaking down this song, and they were like, this isn't a happy love song. And I'm like, don't do this to me.
It was happy and light and fluffy, and I was vibing with it.
I also saw a lot of people hated this song because they were like, she's the 34-year-old woman.
What is she talking song? About high school, blah, blah. And I'm like, I said it on the last time we discussed that album. I'll say it again. It's like a common expression. Like, it's, and there's nothing wrong with, right, like finding someone later in life and being like, oh my God, I love this person so much. And this is just so fun and light and breezy, especially after being miserable in your last relationship. You're like, I feel so high school. Like, it's, and again, which I shared this TikTok with Mike Lance. We've kind of already discussed this, and we'll get to this when we get to Thank You, Amy, as well. But as someone very rightfully pointed out, she has been doing her re-records at the same time that she's been doing her new albums. So if you're bringing, again, like, when I'm thinking of old things, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, and I think of it as, which is so fucking annoying, that some people get praised for this and some people, like Taylor Swift, get shit on. And again, this is no disrespect to Joni Mitchell, I think is an absolute, like, freaking icon. But Joni Mitchell iconically did the song Both Sides Now when she was quite young, and later on re-recorded it because it was one of those things that's like, now that I'm older, I really can tell you what it's like. I've, you know, and again, hearing the matureness in her voice or whatever, and it's so cool to compare and contrast them. To me, I think a lot what Taylor is doing right now, and this TikTok that I shared with Mike Land pointed out, is because she's going revisiting these things, now that she is older and wiser about stuff, she's being like, oh, now as a grown adult woman, this is how I view things. Like, again, woulda, coulda, shoulda, she has, just like I was talking about my creative writing teacher, like, when you have perspective on things, you can view things a certain way and tell the story. And I think that's cool. I love listening to Dear John when she was still fresh and in it, and then listening to Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda when she's older and, like, has a different, deeper understanding of it. So I think So High School is one of those things. Like, I think clearly she's probably been re-recording Reputation and Debut recently and going back to Debut and being like, oh my God, like, I was so young, and the nostalgia of it. And then, like, dating someone like Travis who makes her feel fun and happy and alive. She's like, oh my God, like, I feel so high school and whatever. And, like, I don't think that's a weird thing to say as someone who is an adult, But apparently some people are really bothered by it. And for those people, stay in your lane, okay? If some people are enjoying it, let them enjoy it. And also I do love, and again, this is not an original thought. Other people have pointed it out. But when this song did first come on, I was like, oh, this has like a totally different feel than a lot of the other songs on the album. And someone pointed out, like, at the beginning, it being very guitar heavy is very, like, debut Fearless era, which, again, makes sense if you're going to make a song called So High School, to literally, because, again, she says that in the eras to her, like, who wants to go back to high school with me before she does Fearless? And then to start a song called So High School with that, like, heavy guitar, like, chef's kiss. I think that's genius. I just think that's a beautiful, like, production thing, and should be commended. But, yeah. But yeah, I joke around with my husband all the time that, again, my husband was born in the 80s. I joke around with him all the time. One of my common expressions when it's like something that I don't find funny that he does or something I don't understand a reference to, I'm like, we get it. You're a boy who grew up in the 90s. And let me tell you, as someone who has listened to Travis Kelce's podcast, there's so many times that like him and his brother are talking and I'm like, we get it. You're a boy who grew up in the 90s. So I'm sure that like they have watched American Pie and whatever. I mean, we all watch American Pie. But American Pie is fine. But yeah, like there are so many times where I tell my husband, I'm like, I think you and Travis Kelce would like get along. And that kind of wigs me out. But it's just so like we were teenage boys in the 90s vibes. And so like to me, this song like makes me think of my husband because like there are certain things that I'm like, yeah, like it's like he's a boy who grew up in the 90s. So yes, sometimes I feel light and happy and fluffy with my husband and he makes me laugh over really dumb things. And I don't think that makes me immature. But thank you, I guess, the internet for thinking so. I don't know. Anywho, I hate it God. Here. I do. Yeah. I hate it on the internet, but also I love the internet.
That is
our next song.
Oh my God. I hate it here.
I think this is a good one. I also like really like the message of this song very much a lot. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the whole vibe of it. Well, first of all, again, it kind of like everyone's like, so this explains folklore. And it's like, yeah, kind of, actually. She was miserable. But like, this is so like, not to be pretentious, but this is so like the mind of an artist. Like, I'm not an artist. Like, I'm not the kind of creative that Taylor Swift is. Like, Taylor Swift is a mastermind, but I'm someone who dabbles in storytelling and has more of a creative mind. You know, like that's always what I've been drawn to in school and whatnot. And I cannot stress like the amount of like daydreaming I do, or again, like she talks like being a precocious child and whatever. And I was like, it me and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, it's like, that is like such a thing that I feel like so many people that, you know, to lead a little bit more artistic, a little more creative can relate to. Like I used to tell people, like I would kind of make up short stories, like before I went to bed, like when I was going to bed, like once we were like, oh, I go to bed, and I would like make up little stories in my brain to like make myself go to bed. And I remember telling people that, thinking it was a very normal thing, and people were like, that's kind of weird. And I'm like, oh, I thought everyone did that. And I was like, oh, I guess whatever. But then you like talk to other creative people and they're like, you know, that's not weird, I do that all the time. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah. I feel better. but so it's just like I love kind of that vibe of like, you know, I'm miserable in my everyday life. And so I'm going to go do these other things. But I also love the other part of it, which is that like nostalgia is blinding to people. And like you can daydream about the, you know, oh, I hate it here. And I'm sure if I was back there, if I'm sure whatever. And it's like, no, you'd hate it there too. Like if you're not happy in your life, you're going to hate it wherever you are. And this is so like a song for like, you know, anyone who's grown up in a town where they're like, I can't wait to get out. And then they leave and they're like, oh, I'm like still unhappy. And it's like, yeah, because like that's going to follow you. Like it doesn't just leave because you left that place, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty neat. I like it.
I like it too. I saw some queer takes on this song.
Ooh, okay, I could see that. That's a vibe.
Like, along the lines of if she really did have boyfriends that were PR boyfriends and not real boyfriends, like you're a poet trapped inside the body of a finance guy. Like, tell me you're better than just like this guy that signed a contract. And all you'll ever be is my eternal consolation prize. Cause it's like, you know, you can't win.
Right.
You have to get the consolation prize. You can't be out and, like public with your queer relationship. So this guy that everybody loves, I guess, is just her consolation prize.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This could definitely be like a queer kid in the closet song for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I can imagine like that's a very, you know, relatable experience for the queer community. Like, again, going to these places in your mind where you're like, I could be with the person I want to be and we could be going out and doing this. And instead, like, you know, I'm not comfortable coming out with that side of me yet. Yeah, that's, I like that. Mm-hmm. That's very, I could see that 100%.
Yes. Also, everyone was like, I can't believe she said this 1830s thing, but like, she ruins the game. Yeah, that's the whole point.
It's supposed to be awkward. I understand. I've seen a few people, people of color respond to this line that are Taylor Swift fans, and their response has kind of been like, could she have worded it better? Like, is it a little clunky and like the way that she worded it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely agree with them there. And obviously I'm not here to tell any person of color that like their interpretation of a song, if they feel bad by it, then like, obviously I'm not going to tell them that they can't feel bad by it. But yeah, a lot of I think it was one of those things where, again, it was like a headline where like people could be like, we're going to make this line about how she wants to go to the 1830s. And they did, they took it out of context. Like the whole point of it is being like, that was a bad time.
like she says, right after that is like, seems like it was never even fun back then. Nostalgia is a mind trick.
Yeah. It's so easy. And again, it's one of those things that like, you know, like this is how politics are always like, let's take America back to the way it used to be. And it's like, let's fucking not, actually. like, it was
yeah. No, thank
let's,
you.
Like, keep moving forward. but everyone has. And again, it's like when that whole wave of 80s nostalgia came out. And again, like, I love media set in the 80s. I love 80s mm-hmm. movies. I love 80s music. Do I want to go live in the 80s? No. But that's like, nostalgia is such a mind trick. Like, you're like, oh God, things were simpler. And like, kids could go out and play on the street. Kids were still fucking getting kidnapped, y'all. Like, things were still happening.
Right.
But yeah, I would say it was a good one. I like it.
This is a really good one. I love the nod to Secret Garden. Yeah. The Secret Garden.
That does please me. Now we get to the other controversial song. Apparently we're in the, like, these are the controversy song stretch. And I don't know. I like all of them. So sorry. I don't know. Thank you, Amy. Here we go. And again, this is another one where I would say, as someone who has probably been in the process of re-recording Reputation, she's going back to that time. Mm-hmm. You're singing these songs, remembering like all this pain that you were in and the reason you brought to these songs. And now, and this is a part that I feel like everyone keeps forgetting about this song. This song is about being over it. This song is about being like, actually, I thank you for this. Like, that pain made me stronger. I didn't see it at the time, but now I understand this is how it was supposed to be. I'm, you know, so much of a better person. I can handle things in a different way because of it. That is the point of the song. This is about perspective, about years later being like, I have moved past this. And it was like, well, if you move past it, why are you making a song about it? And it's like, because she's an artist, like that's what they do. Like it would be weird in a sense if we had a whole album called Reputation and we had that whole album and what it was about, which also, yes, that album was about falling in love and so on and so forth. And then we like didn't close that chapter in a sense. Like, I like that we finally kind of got a call back and was like, you know what? Thank you. I'm doing better now and whatnot. And also, like, yes, I think it's about Kim, but it also, like, and again, this is not an original idea. Other people have said this, that it could be about like anyone who's ever bullied her. You know what I mean? Which again, like high school bullies early in her career, anyone who's ever like put her down and being like, you know what? Like that really hurt at the time. But in the end of the day, like I'm grateful for it. And it's like, I don't think anything is wrong with that, but I don't know. Some people are very upset about it, apparently. Also, I just kind of like it when Taylor is petty occasionally. I think as a human being, we all get to be a little petty every once in a while.
But yeah, this is a good one. This is probably my I haven't officially ranked them yet, but this is probably my bottom song.
I have it toward the bottom. I have it at track 13 out of 15.
Yeah, I have like, no hate, like no shade. I'm totally cool with her writing a song about all her bullies and how she's like, how that's helped her grow and how it's helped her, you know, find herself or whatever. I just don't like it. I mean, I, I like it, but I just like it the least amount.
Don't love yeah. it kind of a situation. Yeah. Yeah, this is a one that I don't like search out, but I can get behind. I also think, like, for me personally, the reason I kind of like it maybe a little bit more than others is that, like, I kind of have a quote-unquote Amy, mm-hmm. in which, like, a few, weirdly enough, like, the timeline kind of freakishly adds up because it was right around Reputation era. Mm-hmm. Someone, like, really hurt me and really, like, kind of screwed me over, at least, again, the way I see it. I'm sure the way she sees it is not that, which is kind of in the song. Like, I'm sure, you know, you don't think that you did these things to me, but you did. And really, really hurt me. And my mother, who is a saintly woman, said some not so saintly things about this person, which I've never heard. So my mom was always like the, let's put the shoe on the other foot type of person. And this was one of those times where she's like, we're keeping the shoe on this foot and we're not moving it to the other foot. She did not wish death upon this person because my mom would never. I also don't really think that, you know, Andrea Swift really wished death on Kim or whoever this was. I think it's just a figure of expression.
Yes.
Or maybe she did. I don't know her. But anywho, so I have that going for me, and it has now obviously been many years, and overall I'm pretty over it, but I'm still not like, I want to be this person's friend ever again. Like, I wish them nothing but the best, but like, whatever. But my perspective on it is this person is kind of the person who convinced me to move to Orlando. And then when I first moved to Orlando, everything fell to shit. And this is when this really bad thing happened. We had this really bad falling out. But I can't ever thank that person enough for making me move to Orlando because that mm-hmm. set me on the path that I'm on. That's the reason I know my husband. That's the reason that the two of us are talking to each other right now. Like, I am so thankful for the time that I had in Orlando and the person that that made me and the people that it introduced to my life. So even though, like, I never want to be friends with that person again, I really, like, I remember, like, kind of in the lead up to my wedding, like, wanting to reach out to this person and being like, you know what, thank you. And then I was like, no, that's effing weird. She probably never thinks about me. And so I didn't. But yeah, so this song to me, like, kind of hits.
Yes.
Because I was like, I kind of have this in my life. So yeah, my Amy, to you, I say thank you for what you did. But I also think that what you did was a real bitch move.
I'm still feeling petty, but also, you know, yeah. Live your life, girl.
Also, live your life. I hope that you are thriving. I am thriving in a sense.
You are mostly thriving.
Mostly thriving. I am happy, very happy in my personal life. You know, it's just in my financial life I wish could be better. But doesn't everyone. But yes, I look in people's windows.
Yes.
This song for me... hits. And I know it's probably not everyone's favorite, but this, I know everyone keeps being like, this is like the sequel to oh my god, what can I think of the name of it? Death by a Thousand yes. Cuts. And Death by a Thousand Cuts is not only my favorite song on Lover, it's probably one of my all-time favorite Taylor Swift songs. And I know that that's like probably crazy, but I don't know what it is about that song, but it like just hits for me. It slaps for me. I love it. So this one being kind of the metaphorical sequel. Obviously, it's got a little special place in my heart because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, same. I think this is a follow-up to Death by a Thousand Cuts. I also am obsessed with Death by a Thousand Cuts. You know, one of the best bridges out there.
Yes. Oh, God, it's so good. You know, when people want to, like, discredit Lover, I'm like, but have you heard Death by a Thousand Cuts? It's a fucking great song.
Right.
I don't care what you think about the rest of the goddamn album, which has some bangers, admittedly. But I'm like, you will not discredit Death by a Thousand Cuts in my house.
Yes, it's so good. Does it feel all right to not know me? I'm addicted to the if only. Like, this if only relationship and, like, this breakup of, like, are you really okay with this? Because I'm fucked. Theme continues. But yes, now we can move to the prophecy.
This is the first time I heard this one, I was like, oh, this is some like Evermore folklore shit. Like, this was really giving vibes of that. I mean, again, like a lot of this album does, but like, I don't know why. The first time I heard this song, it really did. Mm-hmm. So obviously I was a fan. I am a fan. This one hits for me. Where do I have it ranked? Let me see. Like fairly high. It's at 8, so I guess kind of like mid, but like it's a high mid, just to make everyone clear.
Yeah, this one's really good. The like music of it, is like you can feel the desperation in the singing, you can feel it in the words. A greater woman wouldn't beg, but I looked to the sky and said, and then that she's also like, I howl like a wolf at the moon. A greater woman stays cool, but I howl like a wolf at the moon. Relatable.
Relatable. So relatable. Hate to say how relatable.
Oh, this is so good. Yeah, I've seen, obviously, like, I am a married woman, so I can't quite relate to this, the message behind this song, but I do know that it's, like, extremely powerful for women who have yet to find their person and are still kind of feeling like they've never been chosen and, like, when is it going to happen for me? Like, what the fuck? But, yeah, it's so good. In Shades of Grey.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, interior design. Interior design, Taylor. She's watching an HGTV. She doesn't want to be a beige mom. Listen, I'm not here, again, to ever hate on anyone's life choices. But I've said it before on this podcast. I'll say it again. I could never be a beige mom or a beige person. People that do minimalistic interior design, I am in awe by you. I am impressed by you. Couldn't be me, though, because I'm just over here like, let me put up some stuff on the walls.
I'm like, there's a space on the wall. It needs to be filled.
I'm going to fill it. I'm sorry to let all millennial women down.
Yes.
With my love for knickknacks, but I'm not ashamed. I'm not sorry.
I love knickknacks.
I love a knickknack. Cassandra, this song slaps. This song is 100% witchy evermore. I want to get a glowing orb, put on my green cape, and listen to Cassandra. This one, it hits for me. It hits in all the right places. Yeah, this one I have coming in at 6, I believe, in my rankings of them. Let's burn the bitch they're shrieking. When the truth comes out, it's quiet.
Yeah.
Again, with some like anti-religious themes, like the pure greed, the Christian chorus line. Taylor, I've never loved you more than the amount that you have called out these like fake God folks.
Have you seen the Christians on TikTok? They're fucking pissed.
Oh, I bet they're pissed.
They are pissed.
And I'm a little for it.
Yeah, like.
Sorry about like, that, but I'm not sorry.
Those same women are like, Jesus hates gay people. So it's like.
Yeah. Jesus hates this person, but how dare you put in your song that Christian people are judgy? I don't know. Have you met y'all?
Right. Like, literally. Yeah, she's like slowly going a little bit crazier as this song goes on too. It's like she's like they're she's trying to whistle blow basically, and everyone's like, no, get fucked. Like, you're a snake, you are a witch. Do you believe me now? I wonder what that's about.
Yeah.
Blood's thick, but nothing like a payroll. Ugh.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. And so true to life. Mm-hmm.
This could be about them taking her master's too. Like, she was probably like sounding the alarm on how he's shady and gross. And everyone was like, no, he's fine. He's a man.
No, he's great. And then everyone was like, dang, he's not great. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, he is not great.
Another amazing song.
Really, it just, this is why it's so hard to like rank them, guys, because I'm like, oh, this one's really good. I'm like looking at it, I'm like, how is this song 6? And I was like, because I do like those 5.
Right. It's like, this is gonna be so hard to rank because like they're all so good. What? Like,
they're all so good. How do I possibly pick? It's like picking a favorite child. You can't. This next song, I'm just going to let people know what I'm always, always absolutely down for. And it's a Peter Pan song reference, like any like metaphor, allusions to Peter Pan stuff. I have never not liked one. And this goes into the pantheon of great ones. This song is fantastic. And I'm obsessed.
And if we want to just quickly dip our toes in the lore, Cardigan has that mention of Peter Pan, like Peter losing Wendy. She dedicated Cardigan to Maddie Healy at that fucking show. Mm-hmm. And now this song, I would argue, could be inspired by Maddie Healy because, again, it's like, you said you were going to grow up and then you were going to come find me. Like when we were 25 and you were, you know, all fucked up, you said, I'm going to get older. I'm going to get my shit together and we're going to be together because that's what you deserve. And I love you. And then nope, actually didn't keep those promises. Life was always easier on you than it was on me.
The video that you sent me today with the Lorelai and Christopher. So bad. Yes. This is so gem coded. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. And yeah, and then finally, you know, Lorelai does, you know, she decides to kind of shut off the light and move on to a better man, in my humble opinion.
Yes.
All you weird Lorelai Christopher shippers out there, get out of town.
Get out of town.
Get out of town.
That actor, we did not support. That actor tweeted that he was proud of all the Patriots on January 6th.
How did I not know this? Oh my God. Oh, that's disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Lot.
Sorry for everyone's ears just listening to that also, but that was the literal guttural reaction I had to have. But yeah, and I think that this is something, again, that like so many, the reason that Peter Pan is used so commonly in female artist songs, well, first of all, because it's, you know, the rights or whatever, fair use, but also because it's such a common thing. Like so many women date guys that they're like, oh, they're going to grow up. They're, you know, whatever, they're just whatever. And then they don't. Yeah. So yeah, shots fired to all men.
A lot of,
you know, who cares? Just kidding. Wanted to get into the Bear Man Discord.
Yeah.
I love how mad that makes men. I live for it. I know. I'm like, please keep getting mad.
It's so strange. Such strange behavior. But anyway, like, be better then. If you're insulted that we'd rather be with a bear, then be better and hold your friends accountable. Because there's no way, like, there's that, like, really famous, like, tweet or something that was like, every woman knows someone or is someone who's been sexually assaulted, but no guy is friends with anyone who's ever sexually assaulted anyone. Yeah. It's like, yeah, exactly. Because they don't.
You are.
But I.
There's just a way, statistically speaking.
I really love. I love the lyrics of this one, too. This one is also very poetic. As the men masqueraded, I'd hope you'd return. That could be a little queer quoted, like, as the men masqueraded as my partner, I was hoping you would come back. tell me you're ready to come out of the closet. Tell me, like, love's not lost, perspective is earned. And then those shelf life of those fantasies has expired. It's been too long. Lost to the Lost Boys chapter of your life. Oh my gosh.
I also like. When it's like words from the mouths of babes, promises oceans deep, like the last little lyric there. I just think it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this song is really good. It's really powerful. You can, like, you really get the emotion and like the, like, almost anger but also acceptance of this. Like, you told me you were gonna come find me, but you know what, it's over, like, and I've moved on and it is what it is. Like, that's on you.
Yep.
In closets like cedar?
You're like, I'm just saying, queer-coded.
This album is very, very queer-coded. Now that I've gone back, like, now that I've had some time to sit with it, it is very queer-coded. Like, lots of closets. She sings a lot about closets. Closets are in...
Make it make sense, people. Make it make sense.
Right. Like, I'm just like, I feel like... I saw this. Did you send that to me? No, my friend sent something to me that was like, why does my doctor label me as bisexual and straight? I'm not a Taylor Swift song.
That's funny. I like that. It's like, yeah, I can't. It's one or the other there.
Yeah. And she's kind of saying here, like, we both did the best we could do underneath the same moon in different galaxies. Like, she was like, we were doing our best at the time. It didn't work out. I didn't want to hang around. We said it was just goodbye for now. Ugh.
And now it's goodbye forever.
Now it's goodbye forever. Sad. Willow's pissed. Sad. I'm almost done.
We're on the Bolter now. Okay, Willow, calm down.
Our McClane song.
You thought, y'all, tell me this isn't the most McClane-coded song.
I also saw this song compared to... I saw the song The Bolter as a song for Amy March from Little Women.
Oh, yes. Okay. I see that. I do see that.
And I really liked that. It's like I saw that at one point somebody was like, is Right Where You Left Me not Mrs. Haversham's song from Bleak House? And I'm like, it's all I can think about now. But ended with a slam of a door, then he'll call her a whore. Yikes.
I really like this song. Mm-hmm. This was one that when I first listened to, I was like, oh, it was kind of fun, whatever. And then I'm like, y'all, I think people are sleeping on the Bolter. I like this one a lot.
Mm-hmm. He was a cad, wanted her bad, just like any good trophy hunter.
There's this portrait pose, this Central Park Lake and Tiny Robots. Oh.
And then she's like, oh, wait. It's
just so good.
She's like, the beginning of the relationship is good. I'm feeling good. Everything's rose colored. And then I start to see the littlest cracks. And then I'm out.
Yeah, honestly, this is so Joe. It felt like freedom all over. Yeah, like, yeah. That does really track for her, I will say.
There's escape in escaping. All her fucking lives.
But also just like, I love the way, like the, I don't know, the lyrics go with the beat of the song. I know this like probably sounds really dumb, but y'all know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just like, it just, that's pleasing. It's pleasing and I like it.
Yeah. Like, but she's got the best stories, you can be sure. That part.
Yes.
Beautiful. Love the Bolter. Really cute. Really cute. Really good song about being scared to be in a committed relationship / being sick and tired of these dumbass men.
Dumbass men.
Faking their personalities at the beginning and then showing their true selves.
Before we get to this next song, can I just say, seeing Robin, it made me think of it because it was one of the only, not the only time. I agreed with this article. There was a few times I agreed. But anywho, Rolling Stone recently did an article and it ranks all 274 Taylor Swift songs, which not all of them are actually hers. Some of them are her covering songs, which I think shouldn't be included in this list. Personally.
No.
But all right. And I was like, I gotta know. It's probably just gonna like infuriate me, but I gotta know. And so I started reading. And the first like 100 songs, it sounds like it's written by someone who absolutely detests Taylor Swift, hates that they've been asked to do this for their job. They have to pick a best lyric from each song. And like, they're the most obscure random ass lyrics. So you're like, you've never fucking listened to this song ever, have you? And supposedly this has all been written by the same person. One person was tasked with this. And then you get to like the top 50 and you're like, this sounds like a fan. I'm confused. So either this person is just like, I only like these good songs, which again, I think all of them are great personally. Or yeah. I feel like this is a lie that it was all ranked by the same person. But yeah, some of the rankings are all over the place. And I'm like, who, what, when, where, why? But the next time that we're getting to Robin, they listed their favorite lyric from the song. And I was like, I actually agree with that. And they did put All Too Well as the number one song of all time. And I was like, okay, yeah, like that is 100% fair. like a lot of their like top five was pretty fair. They put Right Where You Left Me pretty high, and I was like, yes, thank you.
Yes.
So there are some things that I really agreed with. Again, like once we started getting down to the nitty gritty, I was like, yes. But then there are like certain things that are in like, to, like I don't think you should put a cover of one of her songs over an actual song that is certain. Like, I don't know. It's dumb.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. That's if anyone wants to get mad and also happy, sometimes read it. But I probably don't advise. I just had to know.
So what do you think this song is about?
Okay, so the first time, I've now obviously looked into a couple different theories about this song.
Oh, okay.
But the very first time I ever heard it, I immediately was getting, like, this is a song sung to a child. I was getting Never mm-hmm. Grow Up. I was getting Ronin vibes. Like, that was kind of the vibes I was getting from this song. Thought that it's very sweet. It is personally my number 15 of 15 on this part of the anthology. I think it's very good. Like, I would really like to go over. I do think the song is very good. But it's just, I just don't think it's going to be one that, like, is a must listen on every time that I'm listening to the anthology. Like, I might skip it occasionally at some point. I'm not skipping it yet because, like, I'm still learning it. And when I'm still learning songs, I'm like, who knows? It might grow. It might end up becoming one of my faves mm-hmm. one day. I'm not going to skip over anything. But the more I listen to it, the more I'm like, this could be a skippable one at some times. Like, I might be in the mood for it. I might not be. But I immediately was like, this is a song to a child. That's mm-hmm. kind of the vibe I get of it. But I think, like, it's a very good song to a child. Don't get me wrong. Like, the lyric that Rolling Stone put that I agree with is the part about, like, that's the dinosaurs line. Why can't I think of it? Like, you know, long may you, like, roar at your dinosaurs or whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, like, that's, like, it's just, I don't know. It's, like, so sweet. Yeah, long may you roar at your dinosaurs. You're just a ruler, you know, covered in mud. You look ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. So that's the vibe that I got. And then I started seeing people say that Aaron Dessner has a son named Robin. And so you're like, oh, okay, yeah. So, like, it's definitely, like, about, like, his son. You know, it's the song that they wrote together. Like, obviously, he was a co-writer on the song. And, again, she must have, like, a relationship with the son as well. Then I've seen some weird takes about what this song is about. I'm leaning toward, I think it is about a child.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen some other takes, and I'm like, I'm not here to judge your takes on things.
Before. What are the other takes? Tell me. Because I also got child.
The other take that I saw is like, this is so, I don't mean to laugh at this person who, like, did this take in sincerity, okay? But it's very sweet of them. But this, there's a take that this is Taylor singing a song because she's proud of Travis for winning the Super Bowl.
Oh my God.
And I can't take it seriously. I'm sorry, that's mean. I'm just mean. And she, like, did a whole breakdown as to why she thought why, and I was like, okay. But yeah, I think it's about a kid.
Yeah, I think it's about a kid. I think it's like we're all, you know, still pretending like the world is great and magical for you. You someday you'll know, but you don't know right now. You're still
you haven't innocent. Been hardened by the world. Like, please stay roaring at your dinosaurs. Like, stay in that phase for your life as long as you can.
Yeah,
that's in the interpretation that I think with.
That's so funny. Yeah, I don't think so.
This poor person. It came up on Threads, and I was like, I gotta read why this person thinks that.
I also, like, another thing I was thinking upon first listen is, like, I don't know. I was trying to attribute it to an adult, but really the second verse really just solidifies it as a, yeah. for a kid. Like, long may you roar at your dinosaurs.
And, like, why would you name it Robin when literally one of the co-writers on it has a son named Robin? If it's not about him, I don't know. You know, that just doesn't. It's got to be about a kid,
mm-hmm.
particularly that kid, probably, but also probably, like, it's a little bit about, like, he was the muse for it, and then it kind of became about a generic, like, childhood song.
But yeah.
Now people are going to say she's in Arrested Development because she's talking about roaring at dinosaurs, and it's like, only four-year-olds do that, Taylor. How dare you?
You are a 34-year-old woman. A
34-year-old woman. yeah.
And then, are we done? With Robin, do you think?
That we are done with Robin, yes. Which leads us to our last track of the anthology. We did kind of discuss this a little bit on TTPD. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to go ahead and say again, I think the manuscript is absolutely brilliant. I love it. 10 yes. out of 10. One of my faves. And I just, like, can't imagine a better way this album that's like so deep and so heavy, and again had so many fans being like, is she okay? To end with like, it's not mine anymore, like this is yours now, interpret it, take it what you want, I've cleansed it from my soul, we're gonna sing it in stadiums, you know, hopefully, crossing fingers, I think so, on the tour, and we're all gonna remember those moments, and we're not gonna remember the sad bits that these songs, you know, relate to and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yes, again, I think it just feeds back into that theory that, of that TikTok that I watched where the guy's talking about, like, as someone who literally is going through her manuscripts right now, like, what a brilliant song, you know, like, it's very, mm-hmm. you know, and the only way to move forward is to go back and all that kind of stuff and work through your crap and get it out there, and then you can move forward. And I think that that is chef's kiss, aptly said. And those are my thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I have reviewed and re-recorded all of my music. I've explored it. And now it's yours. Here you go. Some of these lines, though, he said that if the sex was half as good as the conversation was, soon they'd be pushing strollers.
Yeah.
Yuck. Also,
what kind of guys were you dating? That's like the first
creepy.
Like, well, if you can sex me up good, this conversation's been good tonight, I'd be like, oh, we're not gonna have a second date, thank you.
Yeah, this is like a 17, this is like a 20-year-old dating a 35-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. And then when she says how he said since she was so wise beyond her years, everything had been above board, she wasn't sure, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, now you're looking back at those relationships being like, wait a second, he took advantage of me. Yeah.
Now that she's a woman in her 30s, she's like, I can't possibly imagine dating someone who's 19, 20, anything like that. Like, that's weird and icky.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was like, oh, I'm mature and it's like cool to date older guys and it's fine. And now she's like, wait, that's fucking wrong. that wasn't cool at all.
Willow, shush. Yeah. But that's a perfect way to end the album. She's like, here you go. This is yours now. Like, you know, there's speculation she's going to be taking a break after this. There's speculation she's going to be doing something else after this. You know, I don't know. Right. I hope not.
Selfishly. I am the crowd chanting more. No, I'm just kidding.
Literally.
Selfishly, I would like her to continue make clear. Like, she's going to go direct now. And, like, I'm sure she'll be great at that. And if she wants to do that, that's great. But, like, selfishly, I want her to continue making music. But I do feel mm-hmm. like the Eras tour and then this album coming out and it ending the way that it did and it being like, she's probably, again, at this point done re-recording the album. She only has a couple left to put out. And again, it's like all this, like we've been looking in the past and the Eras and whatever. I think like this is her closing that chapter on it and not in a like a final way, like we're not allowed to say Eras anymore, anything like that kind of way, but of being like, I'm at peace with it now, we went through it together, those songs are yours, do with them as you please, but like, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, chapter of my life is closed. So in a sense, I do see this as an ending of sorts, but like not in a like mm-hmm. final way, in a like end of book one, we're going to book two in the series kind of way.
Yeah.
But that's my personal interpretation. I could be vastly wrong.
Right. We all could be just big, dumb idiots.
We're just but big, dumb idiots. But I just think the amount that she loves songwriting, I can't imagine her ever giving that up. I do think after the phenomenon that was the Eras tour and the nonstop tour, I mean, again, yes, she's given herself breaks, but this has been a massive undertaking. And it's mm-hmm. not uncommon, you know, people doing world tours, on average, it takes about 2 years. And after that, they will take a couple years off. And honestly, yeah, go girl. I hope that she does. I hope that she at least like takes touring off for a little bit. And then hits the road on the next tour, you know, whatever, for another album one day. But yeah, I think that like this, but also it's like, how do you top the Eras tour? I mean, she's Taylor Swift, so she'll find a way to do it. But like, I feel like there's never going to be anything like it again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm going to soak it up so much in Sweden. Like, this is going to be the last time I get to see it live in person. Again, I'll have the memories and Disney Plus and all that stuff to watch it. And I will, believe me. But yeah, this is going to be one of those things that, you know, just speaking of nostalgia earlier, that one day I'm going to be like, y'all weren't there at the Eras tour live when I'm
right.
I lived an experience. But like, it truly, as an experience, was like a groundbreaking tour. And And the fans have embraced it. And yeah, I'm like, I never want to stop trading friendship bracelets. And I never want to, like,
I know.
Like, I love that. I hope we carry that on forever. I hope that's just, like, you know how, like, parrot heads and dead heads have, like, certain things that are just, like, iconic to them that they always do. I hope that that becomes a staple in Taylor Swift lore from here on out. Like, we started with this tour, but every time, ever since, we continue to do it. Because I will just be a sad, washed up millennial fan. If we, like, one day it's not cool to do anymore, I'll be like, no, it's cool, guys. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now we're just ending this on a weirdly sad note. With this excitement, it's an exciting time, y'all. We're about to go see, you know, our girl in Sweden. We are excited. Only happy thoughts.
Only happy thoughts. Only happy vibes. We are very happy that our last episode with you guys before our spring break is a Taylor Swift episode, because we love her. You love her. It's a Taylor's. It's this month is dedicated to Taylor Swift, and at least in my world.
At least in my world, yeah. And everyone so, else has to live with that.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, thank y'all for joining us on this little trip around the Eras album. Yes. Nope, you know what I mean. I'm tired, as always.
Taylor Swift, we love her. Yes,
we love. But
love all of you.
We love all of you. We want y'all to take care of yourselves. And we will see you in a couple weeks to talk about Taylor Swift even more.
Just when you thought it was done, it's not, baby.
It'll never be done. It will never
be over. The limit just exists.
But anyway, yeah. Take care. Take care of yourselves.
Much love. If you want to, I'm sure we'll post something on Hate Spinnerbait. About our trip. I'm sure you'll see a picture of us like cheesing it up. If you want to follow our personal accounts, if you're just like, oh my god, I need to see every day what outfit Bethany is wearing for Rich Era because she is extras, so I'll get out, follow along. I'm gonna be obnoxious about booking up this trip, so if you don't want to see any of that, I don't blame you, don't follow me. But if you're like, hey, that sounds like my cup of tea, follow me. Mom, you already are following me, so you're good to go on the content. All right. Love to all of you. Take care of yourselves.
Bye.
You enjoy our spring break. Bye.